We are turning today to Genesis chapter 40, and we will read the chapter. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers, and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head, and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler, and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Let us consider for a moment again how we are looking at the life of Joseph. We saw in Genesis chapter 37 that it was his sonship which was the point at issue. In Genesis chapter 39, it is his service. In Genesis chapter 40, we are now dealing with his suffering down in the prison. As we look at this, we want to examine it under a number of headings. We will look firstly at the chapter and see in it that there is a mood of rebellion. Right at the beginning of the chapter, we read of rebellion. Then there is a mood of revelation. And then there is a mood of repentance. So let us keep these things in mind. Now, before we look at them in detail, let us for a minute consider again the imprisonment of Joseph. There are two things that we should notice about the attitude of Joseph in the prison. The first is that his imprisonment was without cause. He was guilty of no crime. He had committed nothing that should have entailed him being put into prison. He was there because of the sin and the lies and the deceitfulness of the wife of Potiphar. Now, I think we should therefore look at him as someone who was suffering for righteousness' sake. His acts had been righteous and true and real, and because of this, he was suffering for no other reason. So, let us look at Joseph in the prison as a young man who is suffering for righteousness' sake. But I want you to notice, please, that not only was his an imprisonment without cause, but it was an imprisonment without bitterness. We noted at the end of the last tape that Joseph could well have considered that since the early days of his dreams, nothing had gone right, and indeed everything had gone wrong. That these dreams had simply disrupted his life, caused him hardship, the loss of his family, and led to him being imprisoned in a foreign land. Well, Joseph did not think that way. Indeed, down in the prison, he acted so righteously that he became responsible for the administration of the prison. When the butler and the baker of Pharaoh are placed in guard in the prison, it is Joseph who is given charge over them. So we can see that in the prison, he is acting in exactly the same way as he acted in the house of Potiphar. He is serving in the prison as he served in the house of Potiphar. He is serving the Lord in the prison as he served the Lord in the house of Potiphar. He saw prison as Paul saw it, another sphere of service. Quite remarkable, but that is how he regarded his circumstances. No one would doubt that this is a difficult thing to do. And in the circumstances of life, we are often faced with difficulties which we would rather have never lived through. Do we regard them as another sphere of service? As we have said, this is not easy. But Joseph and Paul rose above the dark circumstances in which they found themselves and looked on it as another sphere for the service of God. May we act in like manner, no matter what our circumstances may be. Now, let us turn to the first point which we made, when we spoke about Genesis chapter 40 being a chapter of rebellion. I want to look firstly at the cause of their rebellion. When we speak of rebellion, we are thinking of the attitude of the butler and the baker, which eventually led to them being placed in prison. So, what problem had occurred which had led to them being put in prison beside Joseph? It is recorded in verse 1 of chapter 40 that they had offended the king of Egypt. Now the word there that is used for offend is the word to sin or to trespass. Therefore, there was no doubt that these two men had been guilty of trespass, guilty of sin against Pharaoh. They were not in prison for righteousness' sake. They were imprisoned justly. They were not imprisoned because of the lies and deceit of someone else. They were imprisoned because of their own sin. And so the cause of their rebellion was simply sin, offence, and they had found it in their heart to rebel against their master in Egypt, rebellion against Pharaoh. So let us keep in mind that that is the cause of their rebellion. I want you to notice, please, secondly, the condition of their imprisonment. Here they are, down in the prison cell. As they look back, they would understand that they knew past glory. They could look back to days when they had served in the court, when their estate in the land had been high, and when they had been responsible for great offices of state. Now things had changed, and they endured present humiliation. Past glory and present humiliation. And as we have already seen, this present humiliation was the result of their own act of rebellion. Past glory, present humiliation. As far as the future was concerned, they faced uncertainty. They had no idea what days ahead held for them. Their future lay in the hands of Pharaoh. And so here we have them, past glory, present humiliation, future uncertainty. I'm sure as I speak these words, you can see that the butler and the baker are a picture of sinners. Here they are, humiliated because of their own actions. The human race today can look back to days of past glory. Glory when in the Garden of Eden, Adam knew the presence of God. Adam acted under the control of God. But when sin came in, the human race sank to humiliation. And today, they face uncertainty. So many do not know what lies ahead. The difference, of course, we will see in a moment with Joseph was that he did know what lay ahead. But nevertheless, they did not. I want you, therefore, to look at them as sinners, and I want you now to consider the revelation which was given to them. We will see firstly that the dreams reveal Joseph's care. That day, when the prisoners were seen by Joseph, he said to them, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" Here he was, and he was responsible for them, and he looks on them and says, "Why do you look so sad?" Few in a position such as Joseph held would have cared whether these prisoners, even although they were fellow prisoners, look sad or happy. They were now men of no account. They no longer had any influence. They no longer apparently had any future. They no longer had any position. They no longer had any wealth. So, as we have said, no one in Egypt would have the slightest bit of interest about how the butler and the baker looked. The fact that Joseph asked the question in verse 7 shows that he did care for the other prisoners. And the fact that they discussed the matter with him showed that his administration of the prison was just and upright and fair. Joseph was not disliked as a hard taskmaster. He obviously was esteemed by the butler and the baker. So, the dreams reveal first of all Joseph's care. But I want you to observe, please, that the dreams reveal also Joseph's confidence. We have noted on more than one occasion that little seems to have gone right since the days of Joseph's early dreams. Has he lost his confidence in God? Has he lost his confidence in the God who allowed him to understand the meaning of these early dreams? Has he lost his confidence in the God who has sent him from his family down to Egypt to be deceived by the wife of Potiphar, to be cast into prison? Is he now finding that his faith has been shaken? Clearly, this is not the case. Because when the subject of dreams comes up, Joseph in verse 8 answers, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Now, Joseph's dreams had not yet come to fruition. Those early dreams had not yet been realized. His brethren had not bowed down before him. And Joseph now is showing that despite that, he still believes that interpretations belong to God. In other words, Joseph here is showing faith. Faith in the God who gave him the dreams. But more than that, faith that the God who gave him the dreams will bring these dreams to fruition. That is why I said that Joseph was unlike the butler and the baker, because they faced future uncertainty. But Joseph in the prison was absolutely convinced that no matter what the present circumstances held, he faced future glory. God had told them that, and his faith was unshaken by the circumstances of today. So he says, interpretations belong to God. He was confident that he could interpret, by the help of God, the dreams of these two men. There is a salutary lesson for us to take to heart. The Bible has much to say about future glory, future bliss. A future where tears will be no more, where sighing and sorrow will be absent, and when on earth there will be a king who will be seen in his beauty, and in the glory the church will enjoy that great future which is promised them. Present circumstances can sometimes take our eyes away from that. We look around us, and somehow or other it doesn't add up. It is interesting to note that John Baptist in the prison sent for word from the Saviour, and his disciples asked the question, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" The answer which they got was, "John may not be seeing it, but it's happening, All around it is happening, just as his preaching foretold. The promise of the kingdom had not been denied. And so, as we look on Joseph, we see no shaking, no stammering, no faltering. He still believes in future glory, and may we anchor our hopes, fill our vision, bathe our minds, entrance our hearts with that coming glory which we know will be ours because the Lord has promised it. Now, having looked at Joseph's care and Joseph's confidence, I think we should pause for a moment just to consider the subject of dreams in the life of Joseph. For these dreams reveal God's purpose. They reveal Joseph's care, they reveal Joseph's confidence, and now they reveal God's purpose. We see from the dreams of Joseph that the actions of God are sovereign. Look, for instance, at the history of the dreams. In chapter 37, when he was 17 years of age, Joseph's dreams told him about God's dealings with himself. They tell him about his selection for service. They tell him that one day he will know glory, and one day he will know responsibility under God. So, at 17 years of age, in chapter 37, God reveals his selection for service, and God reveals to Joseph truth about himself. Now in chapter 40, the dreams of the butler and the baker tell Joseph about God's dealings with sinners. One will be raised up to glory, and one will go down to judgment. So, God in his sovereignty will raise up the butler to glory, and the baker will go down to judgment. So, in chapter 37, there is revelation given to Joseph regarding God's dealings with himself, and in chapter 40, there is revelation given to Joseph regarding God's dealings with sinners. At this time, Joseph was approximately 28 years of age. Now, in chapter 41, Pharaoh has dreams, the third set of dreams to cross the pathway of the life of Joseph. These dreams speak about the future of the world, God's dealings with the world. And what are God's dealings with the world? That there will be famine, that there will be trouble, that there will be problems. But ultimately, Joseph will control this world, and Joseph will feed it. So, as we look a little further, we detect that through this time of trouble and difficulty, Israel will be brought to Joseph and recognize the righteousness of his claims and acknowledge his lordship. Is it not remarkable what an expanse of truth is contained in the dreams that crossed the life of Joseph? God's dealings with himself, God's dealings with sinners, God's dealings with the world. There is a progression in this. Because first of all, Joseph had to know truth about himself. When the gospel comes into our lives, God gives us truth about ourselves. And then, as we read more, will learn the truth of the gospel, the doctrine of the gospel, and we'll learn God's dealings with sinners. We've already been taught about ourselves, but now we see the great expanse of truth regarding God's dealings with sinners. And then we learn about God's dealings with this world, and that in future there will be a man, the Lord Jesus, who will control it and feed it, and that through the tribulation which will be before that man sits on the throne, Israel will be brought to him and will recognize the righteousness of his claims and his position. And on that day the man will not be Joseph, but the one of whom Joseph speaks, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Lord brings us knowledge of his purpose for ourselves as individuals, of his purpose for sinners, and of his purpose for the whole world. Today we do not learn that through dreams. Today we learn that through the Word of God, through the Scriptures. But just as the Lord revealed this to Joseph, so today the revelation is there in the Word of God for us. And by reading it, considering it, taking it into account and putting it into practice, we too can learn what Joseph learned. God's purpose for us, God's purpose for sinners, God's purpose for the world. The selection of Joseph for service, the sovereignty of God in salvation, and the sovereignty of God in dealing with this world. There was given to Joseph a complete range of revelation. He was possessed of a complete understanding of what the future held. And we, in Scripture, have an even greater and more glorious revelation than ever Joseph had. Let us not neglect it, but study it and make it our own. So, the dreams reveal Joseph's care. The dreams reveal Joseph's confidence, and the dreams reveal God's purpose. But I want you to see, fourthly, please, that the dreams of the butler and the baker reveal God's way with sinners. Now we will concentrate just now on the butler and the baker, saying that they reveal God's way with sinners. Let us consider for a moment the dream of the butler. Remember that the butler told Joseph that in his dream a vine was before him, and in the vine there were three branches, and it budded. The blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in his hand, and he took the grapes, pressed them into the cup, and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. What lessons do we learn from this dream? I want you to notice, please, that this is the first mention of a vine in the Scriptures. And, according to the law of first mention, there are lessons to be learned. Do you notice, please, that the vine was not planted by the butler? He simply looks on as the vine grows and reveals its beauties. So here you have a vine which is growing and revealing beauty and fruitfulness. I want you to notice, please, that in the dream, the butler is seen being employed again in fruitful service. And he is able to let others enjoy the beauty, the glory, and the tastefulness that comes from the vine. Now, it is recorded that the three branches, according to Joseph's interpretation, which is right, indicates 3 days. So, the dream of the butler tells him that he will be returned to fruitfulness in service in 3 days. He will be lifted up, and future glory will be his. Now, the dream of the baker is somewhat different, but as the baker heard the interpretation of the butler's dream, hope must have kindled in his heart. You remember the dream of the baker. In the dream of the baker, he had 3 white baskets on his hand, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of breadfruits for Pharaoh, and the birds came and ate them out of the basket. Now, let us examine some of the circumstances of this dream. The vine, as we have already seen, grew and the butler did not plant it, but the baked meats are the works of the baker's hand. The butler was relying on God's work, the vine, the growing vine. The baker is relying on his own work, the baked meats which he has produced. So we see a difference there, first difference, between the butler and the baker. One, relying on the vine, the work of God. The other, relying on the baked meats, his own work. I want you to notice, please, that the birds of the air eat out of the baskets which are on the head of the baker, indicating that he will not be able to engage in future service. It will not be given to him to stand in the presence of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh will not enjoy the fruit of the works of this man's hands. Now, what lesson can we learn today from these dreams? I want you to see, please, one of the prime lessons of Genesis chapter 40. A lesson so important that if we miss it, we miss the main thrust of the chapter, the main significance of these remarkable events in an Egyptian prison. I want you to see that Genesis chapter 40 is a picture of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Think of the scene. 3 men are in the prison. 3 men were on a cross. In the prison, 2 men were guilty of sin and rebellion against their master. On the cross, 2 men were guilty of sin and rebellion against God. In the prison, 1 man was guiltless. He was imprisoned for no sin of his own. On the cross, 1 man was guiltless. He was there for no sin of his own. Is this not a beautiful picture of the cross? This prison in Egypt, 2 guilty men, 1 guiltless man, pointing down through the centuries to the hill of Calvary, 2 guilty men, 1 guiltless man. Now, let us walk down this road a little further. In the prison, 1 of these guilty sinners was raised up to glory. The other guilty sinner went down to judgment. On the cross, 1 man believed in the Lord Jesus and was told, "Today
thou shalt be with me in paradise? These beautiful words that came from the lips of the Saviour, concerned for another in the midst of the pain and anguish of Calvary. So on the cross, as one man went to glory, so from the prison, one man was raised up to glory. In the prison, one man went to judgment. On the cross, one man, refusing to believe in the Lord Jesus, went to judgment. We saw in the two dreams, that of the butler and the baker, one indicated that he would bring into the presence of Pharaoh the fruit of the vine, not the work of his own hands. But the baker would bring in the baked meats, relying on his own works. The man who relied on God's work went to glory. The man who relied on his own work went to judgment. So, the whole circumstances surrounding Joseph and the butler and the baker point forward eloquently to the cross, to three men, one guiltless, two guilty, and of those two guilty, one raised up and the other going down to judgment. Now, of course, we have seen in the dreams that the butler was relying on the vine and the baker on the baked meats. But underneath all that, and above all that, there is the sovereignty of God. Pharaoh in his sovereignty raised up the butler and consigned the baker to judgment. So we have the beautiful picture of the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man linked together here. May we believe both. God in his sovereignty saves sinners and raises them up to glory. That coming day when we will enjoy that joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the responsibility of man in relying not on their own works, but on God's work. The prison is a picture of Calvary, and if we miss that, we miss some of the most beautiful teaching that is to be found in Genesis chapter 40. There is also another way of looking at the raising up of the butler. He was, it is true, raised up to glory. But do you notice that he was also raised up to service? He had to serve Pharaoh. And so he goes from the prison to serve in the palace, to be returned to a position of dignity. Let us now look at the third cycle of thought in the chapter. We have looked at the rebellion, and we have looked at the revelation, and we should look now at the responsibility. I want you to notice, please, that when he is raised up from the prison, there are two responsibilities which are now laid upon him. The first is to serve in the palace, but the second is to remember Joseph, to remember the man who was in prison. Joseph was so confident that the dreams would come to pass as he had stated, that when delivering the interpretation, he says, "When it is well with thee." He does not say, "If it be well with thee." It was not a question of if. It was a question of when. Joseph is obviously anxious to be out of the prison, and who could blame him for that? This tells me, by the way, that he did not serve well in the prison because he liked the prison, but he served well in the prison because he was serving God. We do not just serve well when we like our circumstances. If Joseph had done that, there would have been no good service in the prison. Now let us think of the butler. As leaving the prison behind, he commences his service again in the palace. And what does he do? Quite clearly, he forgets Joseph. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He forgets him. This is a sad circumstance indeed. Very sad. Here he is. And there is forgetfulness of what Joseph has done. I think we should keep in mind in our life for the Lord Jesus, that we must not, butler-like, forget the one who went through the cross. We must not forget the one who was linked with the cross. We can enjoy the blessings. We can even seek to serve. But we can forget the Master. Just as the butler forgot, so can we forget. And this is a salutary lesson to us, not to forget the man who did so much for us. Down in the prison, Joseph had done so much for these men, no doubt making their lives as pleasant as possible. But raised up, the butler soon forgot the man who had revealed the meaning of his dreams and had been proven to be right in his interpretation. Pharaoh came, or sent his messenger, and lifted him up, and Joseph was forgotten. So we end Genesis chapter 40 with Joseph still in prison, forgotten by the butler, and apparently forgotten by everyone in Egypt. The revelation to Pharaoh, the dreams to Pharaoh, which will lead to the exaltation of Joseph, have yet to be. The dreams that will lead to stirring the minds of the butler and reminding him again of the man to whom he owed so much have yet to be. And this is a severe test for Joseph. Here was apparently an opportunity to be out of the prison, and yet it seems to have come to nothing. It seems to be worthless. If we can trace any time when Joseph should have been at his lowest, it was surely now. His brethren had rejected him. Potiphar's wife had treated him badly, and Potiphar, who should have known better, had rejected him. Down in the prison, this man, to whom Joseph had been so kind, and who had revealed the meaning of his dream, after release had rejected him. It seems that no one across whom Joseph passed in life had any thought for him at all, despite the fact that he lived righteously and lived godly. His, up until this point, has been the life of a rejected man. Is this not a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus? Rejected by Israel, and even those who owe him so much in pointing out to them the way to glory. Nevertheless, still forget him. This is the end of side A of this day. Of Potiphera, the priest of On. Asenath means fruitfulness. So, in his exaltation, how remarkable it was, having been allowed of God to reveal the dreams, now he has given